This is Authors in Focus.
Hi, I'm James Reed, fantasy author publishing under James D. Reed. My first series, The Storm Below, is now out as a full box set. Today, I'm joined by Crystal Cherry. She's the author of the new adult modern fantasy novel, House of Pluto, The Divine House, Book 1.
How are you doing today, Crystal?
I'm doing well. How are you?
Oh, I'm doing just fine. Just fine. I always like to start out these interviews with a fun question or two. So, Crystal, are you a summer person or a winter person?
Fall and spring. I like the intermediates.
Fair enough. I think that's the best time myself, but, you know, I like to go with the extremes. So, Crystal, how long have you wanted to be an author?
Oh, my goodness. Ever since I was little.
Okay.
Yeah.
What about it? Like, when you were little, that made you want to be an author?
That is a tricky question, actually, because when I was little, I did not have a very good childhood growing up to start with. In the very early years, there was a lot of abuse. And actually, that is kind of what got me into reading. It was my escape. And so ever since then, ever since I've found books, is when I wanted to write.
Very sorry to hear about that. I mean, not the
funny. It got better.
Okay.
Things got better. I got out.
Oh, all right. Did any of that ever, like, influence your writing?
Oh, absolutely. It's very healing to be able to write when you've gone through a lot of hard stuff. And it's definitely very cathartic. And it's my outlet, for sure.
Let's talk about one of your outlets. The House of Pluto, which I believe is sort of a new age romance / supernatural or urban fantasy novel.
Yeah, pretty close. It's modern fantasy set in the regular world with a lot of supernatural characteristics to it.
Okay. So the tagline I really thought was great. She stands accused of murdering angels. He'll do anything to make sure it stays that way. So who are these two people being talked about in your tagline?
Well, the she is the main character, Robin. She's just a regular human girl who finds out that she's got a lot more to her and her family than she originally thought. And the he is actually someone named Leon in the book. It's actually a couple of people, but I don't want to give too much of it away. I would say Leon and Aiden, and those are kind of the bad guys that are at center stage right now.
Okay. So tell us a bit about Robin.
Robin is a regular human girl. She lives with her dad. Her mom has passed away, and a lot of her family has passed away. And that's kind of drawn from real life experience there, because a lot of people in my family have passed away. So I kind of relate to Robin in that sense. But she's just a regular girl, and everything changes when her aunt passes away. And a stranger shows up in her aunt's hospital room, and everything just kind of changes from there.
So why do people think she kills angels?
Well, she finds out that her aunt is not a regular person, but what's called an ascended, which is a person with heavenly blood who lives for a very long time. So when her aunt turns up dead, she's not supposed to be able to die. And okay. She's the one in the room with her, so she gets accused.
Okay. Fair enough. So that's sort of the inciting incident of your story?
Yeah.
And then, any other interesting characters you want to tell us about? I mean, pitch your book. Let our listeners get excited about it.
Oh, well. I really like Lennox. I think Lennox is one of my favorite characters. He's kind of like the bad boy love interest that comes along later on. And I like Kai, but you don't meet Kai until the second book, and it will be out in December.
Okay. So she's accused of murdering an angel, and there's some people who want to frame her for that, it sounds like. Anything else going on in the book you want to tell us about?
Well, she learns a lot about the new world. Like, she didn't realize that there were these ascended living among her. So there's a lot of new things that she has to learn about. She's used to being human, but she's not human. So she's got to get used to energy manipulation. And it's just a whole bunch of kind of fantasy world type things.
Okay. And you described it as modern fantasy, not urban fantasy. Is that correct?
Yeah.
What do you think is the distinction between those two?
Urban fantasy, I believe, is typically set more in a city.
Fair enough.
Modern fantasy is using the actual world that we live in, but with adjustments. And this first book, it takes place a little bit. It's a little urban because it starts out in a city, but then it moves like to Antarctica. So I really wouldn't call that urban.
Fair enough. I just kind of took urban to just mean a catch-all for it takes place in the modern world, even if it's not in a city technically. But all right, I did not.
They're very similar.
Fair enough. I had not heard that term modern fantasy before.
Really?
Yeah. I guess I'm not as plugged into. I'm not. I mean, outside the Dresden Files, I don't really. There's not much urban fantasy I consume, so.
Well, I had to look it up myself because I'm like, is this technically urban fantasy? Because it's got different settings and stuff. And urban fantasy leans more towards paranormal, whereas modern fantasy does not. So that was a little bit of a difference for me to learn, too.
Okay. And then you have sort of the, you know, what's called New Age romance to it?
Yeah, ish.
Or New Adult. I'm sorry, not New Age, New Adult.
Okay. Yeah, definitely new adult because I like young adult stories, but you know, I'm 30 years old, so I'm a little past young adult now. So I really love the new adult genre, and I think there's a lot of women in their upper 20s and early 30s that like the same genre, and that's kind of my audience.
So how did you sort of come up with this idea?
That's a very good question. I don't even remember. I like to daydream a lot, and I think it just came to me one day, and the more I thought about it, the more story came, and the more I wrote down, and the more I realized it was going to be more than one book.
Okay. So, you like to daydream?
Yeah.
Where's your favorite place to daydream?
Where?
Yeah, where?
As in where I space off at?
Yeah.
Everywhere.
All right.
I got a little bit of ADHD there, and I can space off just about anywhere.
Yeah, that was me in school. I just, you know, I didn't pay attention much.
I tried. I liked it.
I would write stories, but then, you know, I'm just writing in a notebook, so maybe I'm taking notes, you know, and paying attention, but I never knew. Yeah.
I had a teacher in high school who knew that I liked to write and was working on my first manuscript, actually, all the way back then. And I had this yellow legal pad, and I would sit there and write my book during his class. And he let me because it was writing.
Awesome. Do you remember what that story is?
I have the memory of a goldfish, and that was all the way back in the ancient years when I was in high school. I think I called it By the Sword, but I never published it. I just wrote it to write it.
Fair enough. So that was what, the early 2000s?
Yeah, 2008, 2007.
Okay. Yeah. You're younger than my little brother.
Well, hey, look, I didn't say that I'm that old. I just have a bad memory.
That's fair.
I don't remember 5 minutes ago.
Oh, I never finished the story when I was in high school. I started like 1,000 of them. And since I wrote most of them on notebook paper, they're all thrown in the trash. So I didn't keep any of them. I didn't keep them. I was like, whatever. I just tossed them.
I didn't keep that one. It was on paper too. And I think I ended up throwing it away as well.
Yeah. Well, you know, I'm not a saver. Plus they were all garbage. And I'd only got like a chapter or something written on them. Then I'd get bored. Or I'd have a new story idea. That was my problem. It was like, a new story idea. So I'll just throw this story away and start a new story. That was my high school.
I still have that problem sometimes, but I've got a lot better at it. And
yeah.
You gotta write the crap before you write the good stuff. So.
Yeah. Yeah, you gotta write a lot of words to find your voice, mm-hmm. and figure things out. So, what is your writing process like? Are you a pantser or a plotter?
I am naturally a pantser, but over the years I've become a plantser, and I do a little bit of plotting. I'll usually just do like a save the cat beat sheet for my novels now. I wrote one book a couple years ago. I'm still working on it. I still plan to publish it. But I got about 130,000 words into it, and I was like, huh, that took a lot of turns.
Yeah, that's a novel. That's you're into epic fantasy level novel now.
Yeah, you know? Yeah. It's and a lot of it probably needs to be trimmed, and that's my point. I didn't plan it out, and this book I think has gone so much more smoothly since I'd used the Save the Cat beat sheet.
Yeah, yeah. I find I spend a lot more time outlining, but then I feel like it. At least the writing's easier, or it's not as mentally fatiguing, because I don't have to think so much. I more just have to, like, put the prose down, because, like, the beats and the flow, the scenes already, I already figured that out when I wasn't having to try that. So, like, I can figure out, like, the bones of it, but I'm not trying to be, like, writing, like, the prose. That's, like, you know, that's good. And then I can just write the prose over the bones.
And then you don't write yourself into a corner.
Well, I almost did that in my last book, but then as I was plotting, I was like, wait a sec, this idea I have is going to contradict what I've already established in this world, and I'm going to have, like, the world's biggest plot hole.
Well, it still happens, because we're human, but it's not as easy to do when you have some sort of outline.
Yeah, no, it would have been a massive plot hole. Would have been, and it would have been so much work to fix. I would have had to do so much rewriting.
Plot hole the size of a small country.
Yeah, I'm so glad I got that, because I did the same thing. I just had to sort of change the sequence events and come up with sort of a different thing, and so it's still kind of there, but it's a lot different, and it followed the rules I had established in just the last book.
Well, there you go.
So, actually, in more than just the last book, but, you know, that was a problem. This is like the fourth time this thing had been done.
Oh, no.
So it's kind of bad that I forgot how it worked.
Hey, I mean, it happens.
Yeah. Yeah. So, you know, that's, it wouldn't shame. It would have been really, it was really an interesting concept. But,
that's what beta readers are for.
Yeah. Yeah. But, yeah. I'm glad. I don't know. The old way was kind of fun, but this, I still got to do everything I wanted to do. So, you know,
yeah.
Plus I got to make one of my characters feel guilty for getting them in this situation.
There you go.
Yeah. So, you called yourself a plantser, right? That's the term. Mm-hmm. That is, I don't know why I have trouble saying that word.
Yeah, I do too. I usually read it instead of speak it.
That does help. It's easier to read words than speak them sometimes. Like my made-up fantasy names, when people are like, how do you say this name? And I'm like, don't ask me to pronounce that. You see how many weird consonants there are shoved together? That's not something an English speaker can pronounce easily. That's why I used it, because to make it sound not English and foreign, like something you'd hear like from like Poland. It's like a Polish name. When you look at a Polish name, you're like, how? How do you say that? Those are combinations of consonants that are all shoved together that shouldn't be.
Yeah, there's actually a name in my book that it's a name of a place, and I couldn't pronounce it if you asked me to, but I had to do a lot of research because obviously I've never been to Antarctica, and the place where they leave port at, I couldn't say it, but it's in the book, but I can't say it.
Probably a Russian name?
It's in Chile.
Oh, so Chile. Okay. It's down there at the Tala de Fuego.
Something like that.
Yeah, well, that's what the sort of islands are called down there at the very tip of it. Terra de Fuego or something. I think it means like the Earth of Fire or something like that.
Oh, that's cool. I didn't know what it meant.
Or it means that, yeah, that was a really interesting, when you get to read like the, back when they were still exploring the world, they didn't know, like, what, like, they were going through the channels between those islands, and they didn't know, like, what was south of there for the longest time. Like, they thought it might just go to land or something, but, like, the winds are so dangerous the farther south you go. Mm-hmm. 'Cause most of the continents, right, are above the equator. So there's actually a big expanse of the south hemisphere that has just oceans in, like, at the lower latitudes, like the 50s and 60s. And so the wind just spins around the world down there, creating really bad winds. You need to have, like, the right sort of ships. And that it's actually why, like, if you wanted to sell from, like, Perth, Australia on the western side of it, I believe, to Sydney on the eastern side, you have to sell around the entire world back then. Because that you could not go the other way against those winds.
That's really neat.
Yeah, so you just sort of sailed around the bottom of the world and came back to it. And that was the only way to do it back then. And it was something like that in the Atlantic, where, like you sailed, like, north and then south down the coast, and then you came back in the southern and east and go back up, like, the coast of Africa to get back to Europe. You couldn't, like, just cut straight across because of how the winds worked.
Yeah, it makes a lot of sense.
Yeah, right. So, I'm just curious, why Antarctica? Or is that, like, a big spoiler?
No, it's not a big spoiler or anything. Pluto is, like, kind of mythology, like, the god of death. And Pluto, I call it a planet because I'm a 90s baby, but it's not a planet anymore. But it's very icy. And so that's just the connection that happened in my brain.
Yeah, it's not a planet anymore. I was in the 80s, so yeah, it was definitely a planet when I was all the way until I was, like, in my 20s.
It'll always be a planet to me.
Yeah, well, the problem was they found an asteroid bigger than it. They're like, well, we can't call Eris a planet. I think it's Eris, because it's so small, but it's also bigger than Pluto. I mean, our moon is bigger than Pluto.
Ah, poor Pluto.
They thought it was just bigger back in the day because you couldn't see it. You know, they just were doing calculations based off what they thought its mass was, mm-hmm. and they had actually gotten it wrong. There was some other, because they didn't realize there was other stuff out there, like in the Kuiper belt. So they just saw how the gravitational effects were and go, like, that must make a planet this size. But in reality, it was because there was a whole bunch of little stuff there. That together made, like, a planet's worth of mass, but it turned out it wasn't.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. But the next book will be Neptune, so it's a legitimate planet.
They think there's actually another planet out there. It's way out there.
I think I'd read about that the other day, or meant to read about it. I saw a news article about it. That's super interesting.
Yeah, there's some weird, like, asteroid paths out there and comet orbits and stuff that, like, they think the only way it could happen is there has to be something pretty big out there. But it's also so far away that it doesn't get much light from the sun, so it's almost impossible to see.
There's so much out there that we don't know.
Yeah, because, I mean, our sun's, our solar system goes out, like, I think 1.5 astronomical units or something, which is about 3 light years.
Wow.
Yeah, I think. Where it's, like, its gravitational influence.
It's really just always mesmerized me, and just love the stars and space.
But, I don't, or maybe there's nothing out there, who knows? That's pretty, but they're trying to predict where it is and then search there. For it. And that's the other thing. It's so far out. Its orbit is so slow. It takes something like 20,000 years, I think, for it to go around the solar system.
Wow.
Because it's, yeah.
Yeah, I wish I was back at NASA still. Like, I did an internship there when I was in college. It was super neat. I learned a lot of stuff. And, like, it would be neat to know what they think about it and look at what they're doing.
Yeah. Well, I mean, they have to publish everything they do because they're a public company.
Well, then I guess I can just go look it up.
Yeah, they have to report everything they do within, like, I think 24 hours because they're a public company.
Yeah, I didn't get that detailed when I went.
Yeah, it's like all their pictures they have to release within, like, 24 hours of, like, downloading them and resolving them and stuff like that.
I mean, that makes a lot of sense, though.
Well, so you're working on the next book, which is Neptune, right?
Mm-hmm.
And that's coming out in December?
Yep.
Got anything else in the works?
Well, this is a 6-book series. I've already got it all planned out. So after the next book will be House of Saturn, and that will be early 2022 sometime.
All right, fair enough. So if you want to let our listeners know where they can connect with you on the internet.
Sure. So at the moment, I'm building my author website because I'm kind of new. When I get it built, it will be crystalshuri.com. I already have that domain. For the moment, I've got it under bit.ly. So it's just bit.ly/crystalshuri.
Okay. Well, it was really great talking with you, Crystal.
It was great talking with you, too. Thanks for having me.
You're welcome. You have yourself a great day.
You too.
This has been Authors in Focus. You can find my fantasy novels on Amazon. Follow news of my writing at my blog, jmd-read.com, and follow me on Twitter at jmdread. You can also join my reader group on Facebook, Fantastical Worlds of the Imagination. You can find more episodes of the podcast at fantasy-focus.com and wherever your favorite podcast is hosted.